Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. And it's April 12, 2012. A lot of topics to cover tonight. Main science topic, I will be talking about health, the personal health issues that are arising from radiation. Now, a lot of people are covering the radiation topic, but they're not dealing with the human health aspect of this. So I'll be talking about that tonight. First of all, just a little bit of a product update. The corn seed has been once again an amazing response, and I encourage people out there. This is a result of what I did in 2008. The original corn seed offer involved corn that I had purchased, corn seed that I had purchased, of original dense corn seed. This is the kind of corn found on the family farm in the 1930s or before, what was called field corn. I got a response from a customer, and you can see the picture of this on my webpage. The person is holding a ear of corn, and this is a monster ear of corn, and this what the response was. It appears this person is a farmer or has grown corn all of their lives. And he said it's the biggest corn ears and biggest corn stalks he had ever seen. And this was from the original 2008 offering. What's going on now is the second generation of seed after this has gone through a couple iterations of growing seasons. Now I'm able to offer it once again. With the planting season coming up, if you got a little patch of garden out and back, you can buy either 200 seeds, 2,000 seeds, or 5,000 seeds. 200 seeds, of course, is just for a little plot in your backyard or a little garden plot. The 2,000 seeds is enough for 1/12 of an acre. And the 5,000 seeds is enough for more than a sixth of an acre. So if you're at all able to grow corn, I highly recommend that you get this, or if you know somebody that does. So at any rate, look on the webpage. All the information is there, the jmccsci.com webpage. And also, we've caught up on a lot of the filtration products. Remember that we had a hiatus in shipping because we just got overwhelmed with orders. But quite a bit has shipped out. We're waiting on another order of some of the water filter items, but here's what I would say. If you are considering ordering a water filter, order it now. I don't really know. I mean, I've talked about these things before. The ability to get water filters and also public reaction, where the public is ordering much more than they had in the past. And so the end result is we're just unable to keep up with orders. But right now I think we're in pretty good shape as far as being able to fill orders, at least for right now. So if you are thinking of ordering a water filter, do it now, because there will be a point, I'm almost certain of this, in the future where we will simply pull it down. We won't take orders for products that we cannot fulfill, and with planned shipments coming in, etc. And it's very hard to coordinate because of basically the high level of ordering that's going on. And the fact that people are simply waking up. There are not enough water filters to go around. That's just simply the way it is. So, but as far as the pre-filters and the modular filter systems, we have those. So, go to the web ordering page and check those out. Okay. And of course, all the books, CDs, DVDs, we have those in stock. It's just been a difficult year since about mid-February. Things, actually, we had a slow Christmas, relatively slow. But all of a sudden, I don't know what happened around mid-February. It's like somebody pushed the button and everybody woke up that they needed water filtration products. Uh, it was a little bit after that that the corn seed started, went available, became available. So at any rate, okay, I am just going to make a statement here that the United States was a Christian nation at one time. It still is, and it still has that core of people, but it is severely, severely under attack. And what is going on here is no accident. Any of these factors that are affecting the economy and the health of this nation, these are not mistakes or just, oh, the housing market crisis. No, this is all planned events to take down an Israelite Christian nation, and just under attack from all directions. The U.S. economy is absolutely dead. The store closings are just incredible. I heard a statistic the other day, and this is verified also by people that I'm aware of. Half of the houses in Florida are standing empty. That is an amazing, amazing statistic. Fully one half of the houses in Florida are standing empty. And in some areas, it's 80-90% of the houses simply standing empty. Throughout the Midwest and around the country, as soon as houses become unoccupied because of foreclosure, the crews go in and rip out all of the wire infrastructure, the plumbing. Of course, copper is very expensive today because of the way they shipped everything offshore and is produced offshore. It's a commodity that's, supply and demand. But copper is very expensive, so it's a freebie. It's a nice weekend of work for the thieves to go in and rip out all the infrastructure, the tubing, the metal, anything valuable, cabinets. They go in and, from what I understand, in a matter of hours, they have a house completely stripped of everything and they're out of there. And so, and the realtors know that once that happens to a house, it's toast. And so I see another thing happening here, that as people lose their houses and as they literally are going through foreclosure, of course, I'll talk a little bit about the failed policy, the Obama Make Home Affordable program. I saw a statistic today, and it was on CNN Money, that only 436 homeowners have had their mortgage reduced because of that program. Of literally the millions of houses that are upside down financially with the housing crisis that was created, only 436 mortgages have been reduced. I mean, how absolutely ridiculously absurd. And only 170 homeowners got second mortgages reduced. It's just staggering, the abuse that's going on in this country, where the banks took the money and stuck it in their pockets and didn't help the homeowners, where the states were supposed to come in and do things to help these programs move along, and most of the money, they say, simply went to make some temporary payments for unemployed people. Well, those are the people that can't pay for the house anyway. So, I mean, the whole thing, and those are the people they wrote loans for that should have never had a loan in the first place, because they didn't have enough money to pay for the house. That's how this whole thing started. So why are they putting money into houses that are going to go into foreclosure anyway? It's just beyond ridiculous and absurd. But, of course, that's where greed comes in, human nature, and that's the collapse of Western economies. Something I started talking about last week, and I didn't have time. I ran out of time at the end of the show. But bill collectors, those people that run out, I call them the bottom feeders in the economy. When a store or a business goes out of business, or when individuals meet their economic demise, the bill collectors, they come in and, or the attorneys that work with them, to come in and threaten, the threatening phone calls, etc. The letters, the what's going on with them is they do all of their busy work. They're chasing down money, but at the end of the road, at the end of the pipe, there's no money. There's no money to be had. And if a business is still open, when by the time they get there and they go through their court proceedings and levy actions or whatever, by the time they get there, if the business is still in business, then the business simply shuts down. So they kill the thing that would have given them some money. So what I'm seeing here is that the bill collectors are going out of business simply because there's nothing there for them to get. Enough on a level to keep them going. Of course, they have to depend on collections to fund their future efforts, and it's to the point where there's just no money available. So when the bottom feeders run out of the in the food chain, the bottom feeders in the economic food chain are literally hitting the wall and going out of business. it just shows. I went to a mall the other day. You could have shot a cannon in any direction and not hit anybody. The stores were empty. The store, there were no clients or customers in the store. There were the owners or the workers in there, and they were all looking like, there's nobody coming in my store. The kiosks were, most of them were empty. It looked like a ghost town. These are in major malls across the country. The store closings, the business shutting down, major businesses in major malls just going out of business. Well, there's something I've talked about in previous weeks, and I actually did some numbers here. And I've talked about this, and it's a problem that's simply going unnoticed. And it is the, I call it the Mexican population bomb. I just want to refer back to 1970. I lived in Mexico City. And for quite a period of time, I was there or returning to Mexico. But I literally watched, as that population doubled from 10 million in 1970 to 20 million in 1980. Here's a population that doubled with a 50% mortality rate of kids between the ages of 0 and 5. To see that, it rivaled Tokyo. It was Tokyo and Mexico City that were rivaling each other for the world's most populous city. And, of course, Mexico City is a big ancient volcanic bowl, and it has no place to grow. So to imagine 20 million people in that area, it was relatively small. The people were literally living in the street. If you had a piece of tin to prop up against a building and sleep under, you were one of the lucky ones. And how they managed to eat every day is just incredible. But like I say, and under those conditions and with no medical conditions at all, women literally having babies in the street, they would just stop where they were and have a baby. And you would see this. This was, like I say, between 1970 and 1980, the city of Mexico City, population doubled. And like I say, with a 50% mortality rate. Now in the United States, in my estimate, I think is modest, that there are 40 million adult Mexicans in the United States, and the vast majority, of course, without any kind of papers, are doubling and tripling their population, and this has already happened. So these little kids, there are massive numbers of little kids between the age of 5 and up to 10. Young girls at the age of 13 to 15 are starting to have babies because that's their ticket to be here. So it's accepted in the family, etc., that they should have a baby, and that's everybody's happy because that's their ticket to stay here. So you have now 15-year-old kids having babies, they're beginning to have sex at age 12, 13, and babies by age 15. By the time they're 22 to 25, they're going to have 3 to 5 babies. So here's what given this information, here are the numbers. 40 million Mexican adults in the country. They each would have between 2 to 5, sometimes 6 or 7 kids. These kids are under the age of 60% of them are under age 10. About 50% of them are under age 5. And so looking at the numbers and just the numbers that we have right now, that adds an additional 120 million people in this country, and they're not really visible because little kids don't cost much. They're not visible. They're not on the census, and they don't eat much, you know, some rice and some, you know, a little bit of food goes a long way when you have little kids, but those kids are going to grow up. And all of a sudden, remember we started with the U.S. population 10 years ago was 270 million people and declining. Now we have an additional 120 million, literally a 50% increase overnight. And that increase, now I want to talk about other countries where this has happened. So now you're pushing 420 to 450 million people in the United States, and that would double again, of course, given that the numbers are going to continue. That number is going to double again, and remember, the mortality rate for both the kids and the adults is simply not there because they're living in the U.S., conditions are relatively good. You can, in another 15 years, it is possible that the U.S., the United States, would have 700 million people in it. These are staggering, staggering numbers. And nobody is talking about this. These are real numbers. And I went to CNN, I went to Fox News. They're covering the phony election news, and I know people that are thinking, oh, if we only vote Republican this time, now we'll get out of Obama. You know, it's just so incredible, the political scene that people still believe. The Republicans are trying to fight for voter cards because they know that the bulk of Mexican illegals vote for Democrats, because they believe that that's why they're here. They're allowed to stay here. So at any rate, the United States is heading in for a bruising. This is just one factor. And so I want to switch gears here. And I want to get into the main science topic. I will be talking about radiation hazards to humans. And, of course, we have the Fukushima meltdown, which is going on right now, Reactor 4. I'll be talking a little bit about that, but a lot of talk show hosts are covering that. What I will be talking about is the human aspect of this. What is this, the effects of radiation? And that is not the only source of radiation we're dealing with right now. So I'll be talking about all of the various radiation sources and the fact that in the 1950s, many millions and millions of people, especially children, were given polio shots. What they didn't know was that in those antivirus or whatever you would call them, pills or shots, there were 30 other viruses, many of which are triggered. These are not good viruses, they're bad viruses, live viruses, that are triggered by radiation. And so that will be a topic that I'll be covering. Now, I had a thought the other day as I was driving in my car. And once a long time ago, I know I've covered this a number of times on my show, and I think in some of my books I've talked about the monopoly game of life. And basically, we are living in a monopoly game. Everybody has played Monopoly, or at least knows about it. You start out, there's four players, you have dice that you throw, and you have little people that you move around the board. And everybody starts with the same amount of money. And so if you land on a property, you buy it up. And if someone else lands on it, they have to pay you rent. And so the person who by chance gets some of the big properties and buys them up, of course, has a better chance of winning. But the story is very simple. After a couple hours, somebody starts to pull ahead. And one by one, all of the other players go simply bankrupt. And they can't afford to live. And so one person wins. Well, in the real game of real world game of Monopoly, that's what we call capitalism. And we're supposed to be very fond of capitalism because it's against communism, that bane from the East, so to speak. But the reality is that neither system works. Both systems put a small group of people in charge, and those people basically use it to suppress the rest of the people for their own benefit. The more people they suppress, the better it is for them, the more wealth and power they have. So that's Monopoly. Well, I want to play a game of chess on tonight's show. Okay, so get ready to sit down at the chess table, with a chessboard. And of course, chess is an ancient game. It goes back to the Middle Ages. And it the king and the queen, and you have the rooks and the bishops and the knights, and then the pawns that are out in front. They're the cannon fodder. They're easily disposed of. If they die and go away, well, no big deal. The thing you want to protect is the king. So now let's sit down and play a modern game of chess. You are going to sit down on one side of the board, and the government, the IRS, and the banks are going to sit on the other side of the board. Now, in chess, there are movements, rules of movement of each player. The pawn can move forward, only forward. It can move forward two spaces to begin with, but after that, it can only move forward one space. And to attack, it has to move in a diagonal to capture another player. Okay, so those are the pawns, and each player has its limited range of movement. The king can only move in one position at a time. The queen can move all the way across the board on diagonals, and the bishops can only move on diagonals any number of squares, etc. Okay, so yeah, those are the rules. Now let's look at the modern game of chess in the world where you are on one side of the board as an individual. On the other side of the board is the government, in all the layers of government, the local, the county, the various layers of government, customs, the border patrol, the TSA. Then you have the banks, which are in collusion with the governments, and the IRS, which is basically the monetary return path for the money that comes out into society to come back to into the banks and government coffers. Okay, so anyway, and of course, a lot of that money goes into military and black holes, which never come back to the public. So, but anyway, okay, so now I want to play a particular aspect of this game. And remember that in the real game of chess, there are set rules. These rules have been the same since the Middle Ages. And the person on the other side of the board has the same set of rules as you do. Well, now it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different now in that the rules change on a daily basis. And I want to play a particular scenario. And the end of the chess game, of course, is called checkmate. This is where you or the other player, you move your pieces, and in real chess, it'll take one or two or possibly at most three of a person's players, of one player's pieces, to checkmate the king, to trap him into a position where he can't move and he's going to be captured, and the king it falls over and that player loses. He's checkmated. And so, of course, chess is a game of skill. And so if you play against a really good chess player, you're probably going to lose most of the time. Okay, so anyway, in the modern game of chess, the rules change on a daily basis, and they're set by the people on the other side of the board from you. And so anyway, there are many, 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 many paths by which you will be checkmated. And so I'm going to go through one of them tonight, as in with a game of chess, their strategy, of course. But I'm going to show you why none of you out there listening, whether they're little kids, adults, grandmas and grandpas, businessmen, people who are extremely rich or extremely poor, retirees who are retired or people who are going to retire someday, I'm going to go through one checkmate scenario in the real world game of chess that none of you are going to escape in your chess game with the government, banks, and IRS. Okay, here's how it goes. Okay, you are going about your business thinking you're doing everything right. You're doing all the things you should do. You're filling out your forms. And, of course, this is appropriate because April 15th is coming up. That's the day on which everybody has to genuflect to the money god of the United States. But the point here is that, okay, here's the scenario. You sit down to the chessboard. You're doing everything right. You're filling out your forms. You're doing all the things you should do. You have your 401k. You're following all the rules. You're paying your bill. You've invested in your house. Your family is doing well. The kids are, you have a college fund set for the kids. Or, you know, take your own scenario. You're single, possibly. You're living by, maybe you've got a really good job, or maybe you've got an average job, or maybe you're just making it, but you're living on your own level. Okay. I don't care who you are. This scenario will be your personal checkmate in the real world game of chess. Okay, you're going along, and like I say, I don't care if you have $7 million in the bank or $7. This same scenario will fit you. In fact, the guy that's got more money is more vulnerable than the guy that's got $7 in the bank. So anyway, you're going along in life. Everything seems to be going good. You're doing all your appropriate planning. Okay, the only difference between a guy with $7 million and the guy with $7 is the guy with $7 million lives in a much nicer place. His scale of living is much higher. Okay, so, and if you have money in the bank, that guy is more worried about it than the guy that has $7, because the economy is about ready to tank. So all of your investments, I don't care if you've invested in good businesses, whatever it is, all of them are going to tank. And so your money, if you have $7 million, is not going to be worth much at all because the currency is going to go under. It's already fluctuating wildly. Okay, so anyway, that's not the point. The point is, a lot of people could go back and say, oh, I'll just go back and live on the farm. I'll raise my food. I'll go green. I'll be set. I'll do everything I can do. But here's the thing. There are taxes, and there are things that no matter where you go, and no matter where you try and hide, they will be upon you. And of course, the most recent attempt at this is the Obamacare, where everybody has to pay for health care. Okay, but there is no escape from the far reaches of all of this, the way things are going today. And now I want to add the latest rule to the rule book of this game of chess. And that is, if you owe taxes, number one, you can't leave the country, and number two, before there was the ability to levy or to garnish things that you have. Now there's the little additional rule. Remember I said that the rules changed? Well, they've changed recently in a subtle way, but a very important way. That if you owe taxes, then you do not have the right to own property. It takes away your right to own property. And I don't think there's many people that know that out there. So here's the chess scenario. You're going along, maybe you have a car accident, maybe you someone in the family gets sick. okay, as you get older, your health care is going to become more expensive. The deductibles go up. Eventually, if couples are retired or on fixed incomes, one of the members of the couple is going to get sick, and it's going to require health care or medication. It could be that your house goes upside down, or the bank decides to come in and demand payments. You missed a payment on a credit card, and so the bank comes in and demands full payment on a large credit card bill. Whatever it is, okay, now here's the next step. You go in and you get debt relief, it's called. You consolidate your bills, you pay, or you go into bankruptcy. There's many, many different avenues that you can go into. You look for a debt relief program or whatever. Okay, now, any money that you are relieved of paying also, then the IRS considers as income in the year that that debt relief occurred. And you'd owe taxes on it. Well, how are you going to be able to pay taxes on debt when you couldn't pay the debt? If you had the money to pay the debt, you would have paid the debt, right? But you didn't have the money. So the debt, the part of the debt that you didn't pay, all of a sudden becomes considered as income. And you get a 1099 form in the mail from that company, and that is considered income, and you have to pay taxes on it. So, okay. So now you understand the final checkmate. You are in checkmate. Not only do you owe taxes on money that you didn't have to pay the bill with in the first place, but you lose your right to own or have or possess property. Checkmate, you lose. Okay, on to the next subject. Okay, I talked about the population bomb, and that's extremely important. I don't think people have any view of what is going on in this country, that that right now we're dealing with a population of not 300 million as is on the census, but we're dealing with a country of probably 420 million people. It's what broke California, and it's going to take this whole country down that is already down on its knees. Okay, let me go through my notes here. Okay, this is something that a listener sent in, and it's very important, I believe, so I'm going to pass this on. This is from, I believe, Patrick or Patricia, I'm not sure from the name here. But anyway, many health food stores, this is the subject of an email that comes in from a listener. Many health food store seeds will not sprout. It says, Professor McCanny, I know you deal with health subjects, so I wanted to tell you what I have found out. Our local health food store sells really raw almonds, supposedly from Spain. However, these almonds will not sprout. They rot after 2 to 3 days. I sent an email to Selena Naturally, this is the company that they're purchased from, to inquire about their really raw almonds and that I wanted to sprout them. They admitted to me that their almonds were actually heat pasteurized at 200 degrees and would not sprout. When I pointed out to them that in that case their almonds were not actually raw as advertised, they said they were still allowed to advertise them as such. I had also ordered quinoa from Bob's Red Mill because they told me that it was ordered from somewhere in South America, was not processed, and should sprout. It also rotted after several days. Now I know how to sprout seeds properly, so I didn't do anything wrong. I also have a bag of Aramanth from them. But I know that there is no need to try to sprout it. You know why? I have 3 pet hens that I decided to treat with this expensive Aramanth and quinoa. And these 3 birds looked at me with a what the hell look on their face and walked away from it. They wouldn't touch it. I'm sure the businesses selling these grains are probably clueless as to what's going on and just parrot what they are told to say. Everything is being pasteurized in one way or another. It used to be that you could buy a bag of pinto beans from the grocery store and use them to plant your garden. But now they will not sprout either. God help us. We all need to start raising gardens. So anyway, just passing that on from a listener. Thank you. And I get a lot of mail from listeners. It's really important. Let me just give this. I put a posting on my page about a week ago, and I don't know if I covered this on my show, but at any rate, here's the story that was on the internet. Tax ID theft skyrockets. Thieves feasting on a refund bonanza. Okay, here's what's going on. There were 262,000 fraudulent returns in 2011, and a few billion dollars worth of refunds that went out. And here's what has happened. I guess in Florida it's just rampant. People get crooks, or just this is so common that it's happening all over the United States. So there are literally tens of thousands of people submitting fraudulent returns in the name of some other person, and so they fill it out, and then comes back a Uncle Sam. It's like a debit card, and you can go out and spend it. It's not a check that would be cashed to your account. And so apparently what the IRS sends out is these people have stacks and stacks of debit cards, or like cash cards basically, and they can go out and spend them, and it's like free money. There's no way to, and the IRS is unable to stop this. So then the people who are affected, the people whose Social Security number was stolen and used for a false refund, they go to the IRS and say, they put in their regular tax form. And the IRS sends back and says, you've already processed yours, you already got your refund. And the people say, no, I didn't send in anything. So now they have to fight with the IRS to try and get their refund that they should have gotten, and somebody else has gone off and absconded with the money. And apparently this is so rampant, and it is such a mega proportions that it's just one of those stories. The place where I got this, you can just Google this topic, theft ID or tax ID theft skyrockets. Just look that up and you'll find quite a few references on that story. Okay, I'm going to move on because the health issues I got to deal with tonight are immense. Right now, the cancer rate, this is estimates by doctors dealing with California specifically, because the radiation coming in from the previous Fukushima disaster is hitting California. Reports of five times the level of radiation in seaweed. Now, seaweed is a plant. I reported on this at the end of my show last week. And I'm just going to cover this briefly because a lot of talk show hosts are covering the radiation topic. What I'll be covering mainly here is the effect on humans. So I'm just going to quickly review for those who have not heard the details, that the level of radiation, and these are the heavy, long-term radioactive types of radiation, atomic nuclei, in seaweed, five times the normal level. Right now, the Fukushima reactor number 4 is about ready to blow, and I'm going to see if I can pull up. Here's an email that just came in, and this is from March 25th, from Mitsuhei Murata, a former Japanese ambassador to Switzerland and Senegal, and the executive director of the Japanese Society for Global System and Ethics, basically saying that there are about 11,000 fuel rods in the reactor number 4, with a total level of 37 million curies of long-lived radioactivity, that the drainage pool or containment vessel or the containment environmental containment equipment at reactor number 4 was dismantled, and so it has no place to go. The heavy water that is used to cool a reactor and that is radioactive has no place to go. And it says roughly 80 times the amount of cesium-137 released at Chernobyl is estimated to be sitting there in the Daiichi site at Fukushima, reactor number 4. And then there are about another 10 times that in the dry storage, the fuel rods that have been spent. Now, these are old reactors. They've been at this for a long time, so there's a tremendous amount of stored nuclear radiation. But basically, if this goes, and it appears that it is going to go, these are going to breach, and the meltdown would cause all of this to go into the air and into the ocean. This will be catastrophic on a worldwide scale, on a scale that has never been imagined before. So the nuclear nightmare is upon us. And the North American continent, the United States, would be, of course, the hardest hit. That's where all of that radiation would go, much of it going to California. The first thing I want to do is cover all of the various types of radiation that are accumulating right now. First of all, I've got a list of 5 sources of radiation. Fukushima is number 2 on my list. Airport radiation, when you go through the airport X-ray body scanner, the word is that those are turned up very high and you get a royal dose of radiation. Now, when you go to the dentist, a dentist has a number of times per year, or a number of times every number of years, when they should give you x-rays, or just for dental x-rays. And that's a limit that's set. I have to tell you also that these are statistical limits. And statistically, possibly one would go through and not have any dire effects. But also statistically, possibly one out of every 100, one out of every 1,000 people are going to have some type of genetic reaction to the radiation in a simple tooth x-ray. These are statistical numbers. It might be one in every 100,000, but they don't tell you that. They just say that this is considered safe. There are normal background radiation levels that we're exposed to every day that come from nature. But the point is that the radiation dosage that you get by walking through an airport x-ray scanner, full body x-ray scan, is ridiculous. And to be x-raying everybody's body that goes into an airport is so beyond absurd. Both from a health standpoint and just simply from a human point of view is just beyond words, but that's where this world has come to. Fukushima is the level of radiation is not being announced. And the industries that are supposed to be monitoring this radiation are sidestepping the real issue. The real issue is that, for example, with fish, or with animals that eat grass. Remember that the level of radiation in milk in Oregon a couple weeks after Fukushima, this is a year ago, were at very high levels. Well, why? The animals eat the grass. They ingest a lot of grass. A cow eats a lot of grass. A fish eats a lot of littler fish, and down the food chain from that, from a salmon or any kind of other ocean a fish, or in a lake, whatever, they down in the food chain, the very smallest microbes and algae, etc., filter water. That's where they get their nutrients. So they're filtering the water constantly. Okay, well, what happens? The radiation builds up in those. Then the next level in the food chain eats those. It concentrates in that. And by the time it gets to the salmon, they are eating a high level of, in some cases, it's mercury. But in this case, we're talking about radiation, cesium, the other high, heavy radioactive elements that come out of the nuclear reactors. And so the concentration in plants and in animals, look at a plant. I don't care if it's a blade of grass or an orange on a tree. It's getting its goodness, its nutrients from the water. It's filtering that water and storing that water. And as it comes into the, and then part of that water goes out in the form of respiration and evaporates. So it's a constant movement of water and filtration. And that's where the plant gets the nutrients to grow. But the cesium or the other heavy radioactive elements are building up in that plant constantly as it builds up and grows. Okay, now say it's a grain or a corn. Well, and then an animal eats that. It eats a concentration of corn. All of that then builds up in the animal. Then you eat meat. Okay, you're getting, or you are up the food chain from the beef or the chicken or the fish or the wheat or the oranges. Whatever the product is, you are then concentrating all of this because you're eating a lot of good food and a variety of good food from the grocery store. About one-fifth of that comes from the state of California, where the radiation is highest. My number one on my list of current radiation sources, airport radiation, number two, Fukushima, and the Fukushima reactor number four is going to go. This is a disaster that is just unheard of in any type. The Roman army going out, or Xerxes conquering the world. None of those things hold a candle to what is about to happen to the world of modern man. The nuclear nightmare is about to begin. Nuclear reactors right now in California, a number of reactors are in danger. One of them was just shut down because of leaks in the piping in the system. Solar radiation is something that is going on constantly. Right now, we have had over past weeks a number of major magnetic reversals. What happens is the solar wind coming in from the sun has an inherent magnetic field in it. When that goes negative, it reverses Earth's magnetic, it opposes Earth's magnetic field. It doesn't reverse Earth's magnetic field, it opposes it. And blocks the, or basically destroys the shielding magnetic shield sheath that surrounds Earth about 35,000 miles out on the sunward side. When that breaks down, the protons, especially protons coming in from outer space, hit the upper atmosphere, and the secondary effect is X-ray radiation. And if you live at northern latitudes, as can be especially severe. Let me recount, a number of years ago, there were scientists at the South Pole who were all getting cancer. Well, what was happening is the majority of that proton activity was funneling down the magnetic field lines into the polar region, and those people, any metal that was in that area would have converted the high-energy protons to X-rays, and so these people were getting major doses of X-rays. So they had to actually go down and fly all those people out of there, a lot of scientists. And I remember one woman, I don't remember what show, I think it was on, I don't remember what show it was on, but she was talking and she had a web page where she showed the tumor that she had to self, she had to give herself surgery to cut it out. It was growing so fast. These are the kind of effects that radiation can have on people. They can have an effect where they grow very quickly. Okay, and the last source of radiation, public exposure, can come from food. So at any rate, I just want to do a quick solar report here. I talked about the unstable solar wind, the magnetic reversals, and the fact that we've had many, many major CMEs, coronal mass ejections, where the solar radiation is coming out from the sun, many of these Earth-directed. But yesterday, curiously enough, NASA pulled the SOHO feed, and as of yet, it has not come back as of this showtime. So I don't know what's going on. When they do that, something big is happening, and something they don't want people to see. So I have yet to determine why NASA has pulled the feed from the SOHO satellite, the satellite that monitors solar activity. Okay, at any rate, okay, now I'm going to talk about solar radiation effects on people. In the 1950s and into the 1960s, a number of secret laboratories were operational in New Orleans. This was where also the Salk vaccine was developed, a lot of the research for that. And what they were doing was viral research. There were a lot of laboratories. Some of them were not so friendly. They wanted to develop a virus strain that they could give to Fidel Castro to kill him. Well, some of these got out, and but here's the part that is more closely related to people listening. A lot of people were given live viruses. There were up to 30 live viruses in the polio shots that were given to people in the 1950s. And so there's a woman, Dr. Mary's Monkey, that's a book that I referred to last week. Go look at that. Dr. Mary Sherman was a cancer researcher at Tulane Medical School. She was also a very famous surgeon. But she was killed in her apartment this summer, in July of the summer after the Kennedy assassination. Now, I misstated this last week at the end of the show. I was kind of rushed. I said her lab assistant was Lee Harvey Oswald. The real story is that her lab assistant was the girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald. And, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald being the person that was accused of the Kennedy assassination. And he was involved in all kinds of CIA operations. Of course, he was the patsy that they set up, told him to go into a certain room or be in a certain place in Dallas. And, of course, he realized that he had been set up. But, of course, he was killed. Jack Ruby killed him. And that whole story is history. But the issue here is that Dr. Mary Sherman had a laboratory in New Orleans. She was murdered in her apartment. Well, she was murdered somewhere else and then brought back to her apartment. And it's a very gruesome murder. You can go and look at this online. I know there's a lot of kids listening to this show, so I won't go into details. But the fact is that she was involved in a lot of the research dealing with the Salk vaccine and a lot of these other military viruses that were able to be activated by radiation. That's the thing I want to get to. And a lot of these viruses had been included without them really understanding what they were doing. It was like kids playing with gasoline, a can of gasoline, in a book of matches. But at any rate, the bottom line is a large portion, probably very close to 100% of the people that are age 50 and above received the Salk polio vaccination, including the viruses that are radiation activated. And the end effect is cancer. So, and that's why some people are saying there's such an increase in cancer in the United States. But not only does radiation directly cause cancer and, of course, makes you sick, but it also can trigger the viruses that have been latent in the society for that long. So if you look at airport radiation, why are they irradiating everybody in airports? Is it because of security, or is it because they want to thin out the herd, as it is sometimes called in the New World Order. I suggest that you go and look online. You'll find a lot of information on this. It's called, there's a book out that's called Dr. Mary's Monkey. And of course, the monkey refers to the research that was done with monkeys. And of course, out of this also came the HIV virus. And of course, it's a virus that was known to have come from monkeys, different species of monkeys. But of course, the story is that it somehow came out of Africa. But the real story is the HIV was a military developed virus, and it was implanted into the society. So the other thing I want to mention here, and I don't believe anybody has covered this topic, but the Fukushima event, now they're calling for the UN to come in and control this. It could be the type of event that would be used for world control, to trigger the UN coming in, and of course, we'd have to have Bill Clinton run everything, wouldn't we? Or something like that. That scenario, I don't think, has really been covered. So I would not be surprised to see something like that happening, where the world government, so to speak, comes in and has to take control of the world because of a Fukushima plant number 4 meltdown. The question, of course, is what do you do? And the result is that you have to be able to take care of yourself. Make sure you have a lot of masking tape on hand or duct tape. If something happens and you have to close yourself in your house, you need food. You need a source of water. And I've been saying this for years, but it looks like the time is nigh. It's no time to wait anymore. All I can say is that I think with this happening, the reaction of the public is going to send the water filter market into the point where we're expecting it, that there simply won't be any available anymore for the vast majority of the public. But at any rate, be prepared, be able to stay in your house, be able to take care of yourself. All of the preparation that people have been doing, the ability to grow sprouts, a lot of times that is a very important thing to have because of the fact that you don't have to grow it in gardens. You can get good enzymes and benefits of sprouting. You can live on sprouts for a period of time. They don't take up much space. You need clean water to activate the sprouts. At any rate, I want to make sure that people remember also the corn is available on my website, jmccsci.com. That's 7 letters, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.